This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio.
And online at SBNationLive.com.
Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, it's Friday night. Welcome in SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. Always the biggest and the best over the next 2 hours. And I tell you what, we are locked and loaded. It is an incredible lineup. You want to stay with us. Many different ways we can connect with you this evening. Always you can go back and listen to all of our interviews. PodcastArena.com. Email the show, info@eradiosports.com. And Twitter, we love Twitter, @eradiosports. We're going to do a full recap of the 2020 NFL Draft. Legendary NFL coach Dick Vermeil will be with us. Also, we're going to talk some MLB. We've got a book review and a little golf. Steve Burkowski from the Golf Channel. Our producer, who's hanging out with the Big E tonight, of course, is Jack McGraw. Give him a follow on Twitter, @JackMC15. But before we do that, we've always got to take time to pause and recognize the folks that make it happen, and that is O'Reilly Auto Parts. You got to think of them for all your car care needs. Get guaranteed low, low prices, excellent customer service at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Better parts, better prices every day. Hello, Jack. How are you?
I'm doing well, Alyssa. How are you doing tonight?
Can you believe it is day 50, I should say the evening of the 50th day of the quarantine? How are you holding up?
All of my days are blending together. Who knew it was Friday? I guess it's today's Friday, right?
That's right. But we wanted to get your takeaways on the 2020 NFL draft, the fact that Jalen Hurts goes to the Eagles. But what do you think about the addition of their wide receiver that went in the first round?
So Rager went to the Eagles. They wanted to get CeeDee Lamb from all my understanding, but when the Cowboys came in, they went with the second best option. It's not a bad option at all. They finally gave Carson Wentz another weapon. He just turned 21 in January, so he could be with this Eagles team for a long time. And imagine him lining up alongside DeSean Jackson and guys like Zach Ertz and Dallas Goedert underneath. The Eagles could have an explosive offense for Carson Wentz to play with come next season.
You know, I want to back up just a moment. You were bringing up CeeDee Lamb, and he was first off the board for Oklahoma. I mean, number 17th overall, and went to the Cowboys. Were you surprised to see that he was not drafted sooner?
Well, yeah, I thought it would at least be a top 10 pick, and maybe a team like Miami would have used one of their first-round picks on him to give Tua a weapon, but I'm happy he ended up in Dallas.
Well, we're going to talk about that tonight here in Hour 1. Up next will be James Hale, host of Total Sports. Come on back, as we were just talking about, four Sooners were drafted in the 2020 NFL Draft.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker Campbell.
Okay, welcome back. Hour one, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. We're going to kick off our next segment with a full recap of the first ever virtual NFL draft. It was a draft like none other, but first, quote, buy and save on home insurance with Progressive's new Home Quote Explorer, only at Progressive.com. True pleasure to have back with us, host of Total Sports from KREF Radio in Norman, Oklahoma. You can check them out and listen online, sportstalk1400.com. It is Friday night, but it's day 50 of our quarantine. How are you holding up, James? I was actually tuning into you online, and you were talking to Steve Marshall. I believe he is the high school play-by-play voice, and you guys had some good conversations going on. I know folks in Oklahoma City, they are consuming a lot of sports radio this day, and they're tuning into you all.
Well, you know, and, you know, I'm proud of what we're doing every day. You know, we're always lining up some great guests from Oklahoma and, you know, and a lot of things that are going on. And, you know, so I appreciate you tuning in. And, yeah, you know, we're still talking sports every day, you know, and we give people an opportunity to call in and talk about how much they're missing sports right now and whatever else they want to get into. And I've always had an open mind about, you know, whatever my client, you know, whatever my listeners want to talk to or talk about. And, you know, and at Die Hard Sooner Report, I've got stuff to talk about Oklahoma every day. And I know a lot of people are, you know, pretty amazed that, you know, hey, you're still talking OU sports. Well, you bet. There's still things going on with OU, right, and things that are going on. So there's still things to talk about, no question about that. And just like you do every Friday, you've always got a great show lined up and things.
Thank you.
you know, and, you know, we've got things to talk about, and so do you. And so, you know, that's why people should tune in to us and you and keep it rocking and rolling.
You know, James, I wasn't planning on asking you this, but give us the pulse of your listeners. I mean, what is the biggest concern? You are in Norman, Oklahoma. University of Oklahoma is right there. How big of a concern is it that, you know, college football may be delayed?
Yeah, that's the biggest conversation, really, of what's going on is when will we have a college football season? You know, Joe Castiglione, the athletic director at OU, is a visionary, and we had him on a week and a half ago, and he was the first guy to bring up that, you know, we might have spring football instead of fall football, or you might have a split schedule. He brought all those things up that they're now talking about, and I've always thought Joe would be a great president someday if he wasn't
president. We love Joe.
I think he would be good at it. And, you know, he would be very fair to everybody that's out there. But, you know, I know that OU is planning on having in-person classing, in other words, normal classing with the students returning to class, and that's coming up in the fall. They haven't talked about the restrictions with hygiene or anything like that yet, but they are planning on having the kids come back. So if you what you figure is if they are coming back, that there's a good chance we're going to have football in the fall. Lincoln Riley has said that for them to get ready for the season, they need 2 months. And what he means by that is they need a month of conditioning. And so they need to be able to come back in late June or early July and have a month of conditioning before they go into training camp and really get ready for the season. So he said that if they were given that, that he's confident the teams would be ready to play across the country, and certainly his team would be ready to play. And so, well, Oklahoma right now is making plans to have a fall schedule, but they're also having contingency plans that what happens if you have to split it up or if there's a return of COVID-19, you know, with a lot of people, you know, new cases and things like that, would you split the season up maybe? And so all those things are out there, but let's make no mistake about it. Every college program out there, I don't care what people are saying about, well, we shouldn't have it or whatever, you've got to have college football if you want collegiate sports to succeed, because college football fuels the bills.
Yep.
To have everything else going on at the college program. So make no mistake about it. They're going to try to do everything they can to have a college season. And most want to do everything they can to have fans in the stands. But that may be the concession, is that you don't have a full stadium or you don't have a lot of fans in the stands. But we would take it because at least it would be on television that we could watch college football.
Host of Total Sports KREF Radio in Norman, Oklahoma. Also Patreon, Die Hard Sooner Reports. You can sign up. And James will keep you dialed in to what's going on with Oklahoma sports. So let's move ahead. Let's talk about the 2020 draft. It was unlike no other. Which team, in your mind, fared the best over those 3 days?
Well, I thought the Cowboys did a good job. I thought Dallas, getting CeeDee Lamb, who they've talked into wearing 88 now, that shows you how good they think he can be. Because he didn't want to do that. He said he was going to wear number 10 after the draft, and he told all of that, us that. But Jerry's talked him into wearing that, so that'd be great. You know, and now that they have Cooper, Lamb, and Gallup as their three receivers, with Blake Jarwin as a good receiving tight end too, and Blake Bell has now been added to this team, as long as they can get that quarterback situation with Dak Prescott settled, I like what the Cowboys have been able to do. Neville Gallimore is a freak of an athlete. If he can just get his fundamentals down, he can be a really good deal. I like Trevon Diggs at corner, so I think he did a great job. I thought that, you know, Baltimore had a great draft. You know, Baltimore is a team that's on the cusp of breaking through anyway. And they add to this offense, you know, already what they needed with J.K. Dobbins. And then they get a defensive tackle like Justin Madueke out of Texas A&M. And then they get DuVernay out of Texas, who's a speed merchant man. They just added great athleticism on offense again with DuVernay and Dobbins. And I like what they're doing. And, you know, so, man, they've come out with some great things. I like what Arizona did in the draft. You get Isaiah Simmons, who, you know, is a freak of an athlete, right?
Yeah, linebacker.
I mean, he is just, oh, my gosh. Can really do a lot of different things. And Brent Venables used him in an impressive fashion there. And they got Jordan Phillips, too, who played at Oklahoma. It's been a good, solid defensive tackle in the pros. Then you get DeAndre Hopkins, who's one of the best five or six receivers in football. You trade him for David Johnson. I think the Texans made a huge mistake there. It's the Arizona's benefit. Fitzgerald's back for what, his 17th year, his 39th year, his 45th year, however long he's going to play. But, I mean, he's a great guy, and I love him, man, as a player and a person. So you get all those guys, and you add this to what Kyler Murray's going to have to work with. Man, I like what Arizona's doing, and I'm not a big Cliff Kingsbury fan, but, hey, you know, he's got that going. I like what Cleveland came up with. You know, they got a left tackle that they needed. They got another lineman in the draft later. You know, they got a safety that they needed in Delpit out of LSU. They got Jacob Phillips, a linebacker, you know, that, you know, many thought was going to go higher. Or they got Patrick Queen, you know, so, you know, so they got some good players that I think are really going to help this team. And I think Baker's going to settle down and have a great third year with Beckham still on the team. And, you know, as long as Landry's healthy, and I think they, like, you know, got what they, you know, going pretty good. Cincinnati, you can't go wrong when you take the first pick, right? You get T. Higgins, a big receiver out of Clemson, and, you know, and I like their draft too. So those are some of the headliners, in my opinion, that had great drafts. I liked what some of those teams did.
Host of Total Sports KREF in Norman, Oklahoma, James Hale with us. Just a few more minutes. Hit on Jalen Hurts. Talk to me about him landing with the Eagles and the kind of impact that he will make. I mean, that's a tremendous opportunity.
Isn't it interesting? Jalen continues to be the lightning rod for conversation, whether he's in college or the pros, right?
So great point.
Here Jalen gets taken in the second round by people, and some people thought it was way too early. Now, he's improved by leaps and bounds. You know, he took advantage of his backup year with a new new offensive coordinator, and he really took advantage of it when he got to Oklahoma. Now, Lincoln Riley is the quarterback whisperer. Everybody that he touches becomes a high draft choice and a good player. Is he as refined as, you know, Joe Burrow's? No, I don't think so. But Joe Burrow's, even though he can run, can't run like Jalen either. So it's interesting because Wentz had signed a long-term deal. And we'll see what happens there. But, you know, before, Jalen said he really didn't want to play any other positions. Now he's saying he'll do whatever he can do to help the team. That's a good call. He needs to go that route. But I've never thought Jalen would be a starting tailback coming downhill. And I don't know about his receiver. I haven't really seen him do that. Baker used to work out at receiver, so I always thought Baker, if they needed to, could play a little receiver. I don't know about that when it comes to Jalen, even though Jalen athletically is better than Baker, you know, as a pure all-around athlete. But Baker's a better quarterback. So it's kind of interesting. Philadelphia's rolled the dice here, but they seem to love him, or at least the GM does. Can't tell if the head coach does, but I know the GM does. So they've made the pick, and it's going to be interesting to see how they use him.
It's going to be a lot of fun to watch these rookies and how it all plays out. James Hale's been our special guest, host of Total Sports KREF, 1400 in Norman, Oklahoma. Also subscribe to Patreon, Die Hard Sooner Reports. Jay, always a true pleasure. Be safe, and we'll talk again here real soon. Thank you.
All righty. See you.
You
be
bet.
Safe.
Absolutely. Much more coming your way here in Hour 1, SB Nation Radio.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston, here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, welcome back on this Friday night, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. Love to hear from you and always connect at Twitter at eradiosportsinfo, at eradiosports.com, and podcastarena.com. And as always, we like to recognize the folks that make it happen at SB Nation, and that is O'Reilly Auto Parts, where you are guaranteed to get the everyday low price on the parts that you need. O'Reilly Auto Parts will match any local auto parts store price on any like item. O'Reilly Auto Parts has the parts you need at the guaranteed lowest price. O'Reilly Auto parts, better prices every day. Well, as promised, NFL news and notes continues as we provide a full recap of the 2020 NFL virtual draft. Who made the best selections? We're going to talk about the Philadelphia Eagles, and delighted to have back with us, that is Super Bowl winning coach, the great Dick Vermeil. And coach, before we recap this year's draft, give us the pulse on you and your lovely wife, Carol. You guys are in Pennsylvania. How are you all holding up during this pandemic?
We're doing fine. Yeah. And actually, and maybe I shouldn't say this, but I am enjoying the exclusion. You know, I live out in the country.
Yeah.
I have nothing on my calendar. It's either postponed or canceled. I've never had a calendar like that. And I find myself enjoying doing something today that I know I don't have to do tomorrow because I have to go somewhere tomorrow. So, you know, overall, it's good. I'm glad we're not, you know, suffering in any way. Nobody in my family is. In fact, I don't know anybody that is. So we're doing well.
Well, you are a legendary NFL coach, but one of your passions is winemaking. So talk to me about, as far as Dick Vermeil Wines, I mean, how have you guys been impacted by COVID-19 and the wine industry?
Our tasting room is closed in Napa on 1018 First Street. We have a wine club shipment going out in May. We had one, I think, in February. Then we don't ship during the summer. Then the next one will be in the fall. But we're hurting. You know, you shut down. You have employees to help and those kind of things. And when you're a small 2,500 case a year, give or take a few, and you rely 95% on direct sales, you're hurting a little bit. But we'll survive.
Well, we extended this invitation because we wanted to find out your thoughts on the NFL draft and recap. And we want to start with one of your former teams and talking about the Eagles. I mean, what an intriguing selection of Oklahoma's former quarterback in Jalen Hurts with the 53rd pick. You know, what was your take on the addition of Hurts with the Eagles?
Well, it surprised me, okay, because I feel that they had other needs, but I guess they just felt he was so good, and they know their roster better than fans and old coaches do, so they must have confidence that they have a solid starter in every position, and so they would go ahead and secure the quarterback position. You know, as we know the history of Wentz, he's been unfortunate, hasn't stayed healthy, so they do that. But it did surprise me. They got a good one. Now, if he's as good as his numbers at Alabama and then Oklahoma, then, hey, they've gotten one. Though we've had Heisman Trophy winners in the past fail, you know, so it's a gamble. But it's a pretty high percentage gamble.
Legendary NFL Super Bowl winning coach. We know him well. Dick Vermeil with us tonight, SB Nation Radio. We're breaking down the draft, specifically talking about Coach Vermeil's former team, the Philadelphia Eagles. And, you know, I think fans, too, they were surprised that the Eagles would use a high pick on another quarterback. So let's focus our conversation on the value of having a second quarterback and how important that is for the Eagles, because I'm not thinking of, you know, Dick, like a quarterback controversy, but let's be real. You had just mentioned it. Carson Wentz has been injured in the past. I mean, and you got to be ready.
No question. You know, he's been labeled injury prone. I don't really believe that those kind of terms are reliable things to evaluate a player on. I think he's been unlucky. Okay, I've known players in my career that missed first 2 or 3 years, got all banged up, then didn't miss a game the next 10 years. They became luckier, you know, and I think that's going to happen with Carson Wentz. But I'll tell you this, when you are a good team and you don't have a good backup, then you're really hurting. And, you know, going into the draft, they thought they had a pretty good backup in Sudfeld, who was going to be their backup last year, and he got hurt. You know, so, you know, it's a great security blanket. It's great if you can afford to do it. Obviously, the Eagles thought they could. In the long run, we're hopeful he doesn't get to play.
Right. Well, Carson Wentz did play 16 games for the Eagles in 2019. They finished the season 9-7. He is the Eagles' go-to guy. But I think this is an amazing opportunity for Jalen Hurts because he's going to have the opportunity to learn and develop from a great player like Carson. What say you?
Well, you know, it's good to see. Nothing better than a great example. You know, that's much better than advice or theory or anything else. When you see it done every day, you learn. But Carson's still learning, too. Jalen is going to have to be a tough-minded guy. Living in Philadelphia, I know how the fans are. If Jalen has a good training camp and a preseason game, if we have preseason games, and all of a sudden Carson is struggling early in a ball game, the fans are going to start chanting they want Jalen.
Uh-oh.
And all of a sudden we've got a quarterback problem in town. It happens in this city. It just does. It's an intense city, a great city, and they love their players, but they many times think they know more than the coaches when it comes to evaluating game day situations. So it could get intense for this young kid.
That's interesting. Okay, so Jalen Hurts, I mean, obviously he is a hot topic with the Eagles. I would love for you to kind of break down his game a little bit more, your evaluation of him as a rookie quarterback and the impact that he could make. I'm so impressed with how he transitioned from Alabama to the University of Oklahoma so seamlessly. And I have to think, I mean, Dick, that took a lot of courage to make that decision to leave a powerhouse like Alabama.
Well, that's true. You know, I don't think he's just a normal college kid graduating, coming out after 4 years. You know, he started as a true freshman. You know, he started 14 games, and that hadn't been done at Alabama. You know, and then he went on, and he handled it real well. No bickering, support. He gets a chance to go in and play when Tua gets hurt and wins the game. So there's solid character in his makeup. There's maturity in his makeup. And I believe that'll transcend into this year as a rookie and only help him grow in the league and handle the adversity better than most quarterbacks. But his numbers are impressive. When you run for 3,000-plus yards as a quarterback running, average 5.3 yards rushing as a career.
Right.
And throw for 9,400-something yards as a passer. You know, yeah, you're an elite guy. You're an elite guy. And I think the odds of him being successful are very, very high. Coming out of two great programs where he's been extremely well coached, surrounded by good players and good coaches, he'll be more ready to play early than most quarterbacks coming out. So I'm excited about him. I was surprised, like everybody else. They're still talking about it every morning on the talk shows. They're still talking about it here in town.
Hey, let's move ahead and talk about Tua and his time with the Miami Dolphins. I mean, he has been injury prone, but if he would have been healthy, in your mind, do you believe he could have been the number one pick in this year's draft? I mean, he's a good player.
No, I don't think so. The other kid, LSU, is as impressive.
Oh, Joe Burrow.
A young quarterback. Yeah, Burrow. He's as impressive a young quarterback coming out I have ever seen. I always thought Elway and those kind of guys were, oh, my God, there just can't be another one like those guys. But this kid doesn't have Elway's arm, but he has. He's extremely accurate. He can run. He's smart. He's poised. He sees the field well. I don't see any limitation. I expect him to play well as long as Cincinnati provides him with a supporting cast that'll allow him to play well.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Yeah. The wait is over for the Bengals. They've got their guy and the number one pick overall in the 2020 draft, Joe Burrow. What a journey it has been for this young man, and I love it. Dick, you're right. I mean, high expectations for him with the Bengals, and there's so much to appreciate about him. Tell me this. I mean, you have worked with so many legendary quarterbacks. What is the key to maximizing your opportunity when you've been drafted and you're trying to prove yourself as a player so you can have longevity in the league?
Well, I think being fortunate enough to be drafted onto a team that has a good supporting cast when you get there. Many times when a quarterback goes in the first round, he goes early. The reason that team has an early pick is they've been losing. So they get a first, second, or third pick in the draft. And so he gets there, and he has no offensive linemen or very few, and, you know, limited receivers. You know, just it's not well. It's not a real good program yet. And so he gets the hell beat out of him, and eventually he fades away. Then there's the situation where the system just isn't quarterback friendly. There have been quarterbacks come out, go places, and not excel, in my opinion, because the system just wasn't conducive to a young quarterback playing well anyway. So it's a combination of things. Tua has been in a very good system. It's a pro system. You know, he's proved he could play. You know, he played as a freshman. I mean, this guy, accurate. He's not as accurate as Burrow, I don't think, but he is. He'll go to Miami and he'll be a starter and he'll be a good player. Will he be a great player? Only time will tell.
That's right. Well, listen, as we wrap up our interview tonight with legendary NFL coach Dick Vermeil, you know, it's a unique time. It's a unique season and challenge for the rookies, but all for the players, you know, and the coaches in the league. What do you think? You think the NFL season is going to start on time, or is it going to be a delayed start?
Well, I don't know any more than Trump does, so.
Right.
So I'm up in the air, too. I'm hopeful. I'm hopeful they'll get to play 4 preseason games. They may not get as much training camp. They're obviously not going to get the OTAs and mini camps in, but hopefully they'll get enough training camp in to line up and play the regular season. You know, there's a lot of doubt. There's a lot of doubt that's going to happen. And the league is preparing for it not to happen and have a scheme ready and an approach to take if and when it does open. But I do believe we'll play football. I just don't know how restricted we will be. And by gosh, it better get here soon. I'm running out of things to watch on television.
Yes, we are ready for some fresh programming, and it certainly will be so fascinating to watch all these talented rookies that we were just highlighting. tonight in our interview with the great Dick Vermeil. Dick, you stay safe. Best to Carol, and we will talk real soon. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Steve. You take care of Houston for me.
Yes, sir. Much more coming your way. SB Nation Radio. Come on back.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio. Live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Okay, it's Friday night. Welcome back, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'm your host, Alyssa Walker-Campbell. And of course, this program is presented to you by our good friends at O'Reilly Auto Parts. You know, it is almost time. We're hoping it won't be long before we can prepare for road trips. So before your travel begins, visit O'Reilly Auto Parts. Simple preventative maintenance before you go will ensure a safe journey. O'Reilly Auto Parts, better parts, better prices every day. Well, the PGA, the LPGA Tour have announced new target dates to restart the 2020 season. So what about the Korn Ferry Tour? How close are they to returning? Korn Ferry Tour players are anxious for some good news and to get back on the course as their season has been put on hold due to COVID-19 pandemic. Right now, we're going to go inside the ropes, and we are so delighted to welcome back to our show from the Golf Channel, and he is the play-by-play host for the Korn Ferry Tour. That is Steve Burkowski. Steve, thank you for joining us tonight, and I trust you and your family are well and staying strong during this debilitating pandemic. How are you guys holding up?
We're doing well, Alyssa. Always great to be back with you. Appreciate
thank you.
You checking in on us, Kate and the boys. We're hanging in, and like everybody, trying to be smart, trying to be safe, trying to stay busy, and you know, all hopeful that things get back to normal. And as you alluded to, hopefully some golf coming June 11th. That's the target date.
Well, we look forward to that. But I have to say that looking at your Twitter feed, it looks like you and your two young boys have been spending a lot of time on the golf course during this quarantine. So recreationally, I mean, it is the safest sport. You guys are making some memories out there.
Oh, absolutely. Luke, my oldest, is 6. Chase is 4.5.
Oh.
And, that's sort of our weekend goals. Let's get out to the range. Let's keep our distance. Let's have some fun. Let's be honest. They're young. They don't quite understand what in the heck's going on in this world.
Uh-huh.
So, yeah, we try to enjoy it. My wife, loves it as well. So we've had, 49 days of good quality family bonding time, shall we say. But, yeah, we're making the most of it, as everyone is around the world.
The Golf Channel, Steve Burkowski with us tonight on SB Nation Radio. So, Steve, take us back to the month of March, and March 12th, that's when we started to see the impact of COVID-19 on the world of sports and the cancellation of the players at TPC Sawgrass. What was your immediate reaction to the news? And when you reflect on that, I mean, what was going through your mind? Our world was turned upside down.
It really was, and you know, I'll even go back a couple weeks earlier doing the Florida swing from the Honda to Bay Hill, and you know, you do interviews, you talk to players, you're like, I don't know if I shake your hand, do I not?
Yeah.
And then it just seemed to go from 0 to 60 up at TPC Sawgrass for the players, and throughout that week, it was every time you turned on the TV, this is not happening, this is canceled, this is going away, and you know, it was 7 weeks ago today on that Friday that we all went home and saying, that's it. But it escalated so quickly of they played golf on that Thursday and shouldn't we be playing? Should we not? The NBA and the NHL, everyone was pulling the plug and rightfully so. And then in, you know, matter of hours, Commissioner Jay Monahan from the PGA Tour just finally said, you know what, guys, we're done. Everybody get home. Everybody stay safe. It was bizarre. It was surreal. That happened late Thursday night. That Friday morning, I'm up at the clubhouse at O'Dark 30. Players are cleaning out their lockers. I remember Rory said he had no idea. He had an early tea time on Friday. He had his alarm set. He woke up to, you know, 30 text messages, this, that, and the other. And I think we all scratched our head. And again, that was 7 weeks ago. And now we're hopefully 6 weeks away from being in Fort Worth at the Charles Schwab Challenge at Colonial. And, you know, there's so many moving parts. How is it going to work? Who's going to keep their card? I don't envy any of those folks with the PGA Tour right now trying to devise a fair, safe, equitable return to the game of golf. It's going to be a challenge.
Well, the good news is the PGA and the LPGA Tour have released revised schedules, and there are new target dates, as you just talked about, on the return. What do you think, Steve, will be the biggest challenge for both tours when golf does resume?
Oof, where do you start? you know, we know at least with the PGA Tour, the first four events scheduled back will be without fans. So it's going to look very different. You still need an infrastructure of some capacity of volunteers, scores. How are we going to broadcast these?
Right.
Whether it's NBC, Golf Channel, CBS. You know, you go in a TV truck and you've got a dozen people shoulder to shoulder. Well, that might not fly in this new world. So I think it's going to be very surreal when it returns. Let's hope, again, it's June for the tour and the ladies a month later. I don't know how they're going to pull it off in terms of, and Jay Monahan, I'll circle back to his main point. We will do it when it's safe, that we can have tests available, whether it's players and caddies and volunteers and broadcasters, et cetera, but that we're not taking it away from people on the front line or people that truly need it. So, you know, I think if they can get that testing, they'll find a way to return. But it will look very different, that especially those first 4 weeks. So going to a tour event, and there's no fans. We've had a couple of days due to weather situations where they've kept the fans off the course because of safety reasons. You know, this is the safety reason of the highest resolve. And, you know, it's going to be different. And I wish I could describe it better, but just the thought of, am I going to interview somebody when they're done? Uh-huh. Are they going to come to me? Or am I going to be 10 feet away from them? The little things of trying to fine-tune it is going to be a challenge for everyone involved.
You know, Steve, I think Nick Faldo said it best. He said, I don't want to visualize golf without fans. It definitely is going to have a different vibe. But, I mean, that is just one of the guidelines when play resumes, that it will be played without fans. I mean, it's going to be like junior golf. We've been talking about it on my show for the past few weeks.
Yeah, you're right. We're used to either watching or covering amateur and college golf and
uh-huh.
golf.
Yeah.
Let's be honest, it got 50 or 100 people floating around. So, you know, maybe the young guns will be more apt to adjusting. And you bring up Faldo, obviously a legend, 6-time major champ. And the scuttlebutt that maybe the Ryder Cup would be played without fans in September. Holy smokes, that's not a Ryder Cup without fans. And even Rory has said it. I mean, that sporting event is the most electric thing I've ever been a part of covering. To think that there wouldn't be 50 or 60,000 people at Whistling Straits in September, man, that whole dynamic would change completely.
He is a reporter for the PGA Tour, play-by-play host for the Korn Ferry Tour. You can check him out on the Golf Channel. Steve Burkowski, our very special guest tonight at the Next Generation of Sports Radio, SB Nation. You know, you've mentioned several times the PGA Tour Commissioner, Jay Monahan. I'm also thinking of the LPGA Tour Commissioner, Michael Wan. And you just really tip your hat to these guys. I mean, these are uncertain times. And I just think, Steve, they've done an amazing job, you know, navigating through these uncharted waters and formulating a game plan for the days ahead.
Oh, without a question. I had a chance to speak with Mike Wan either Tuesday or Wednesday at the Players on the 17th, doing interviews during our Live From programming. And he basically said something to the effect of, it's a tough decision. I don't know if it's the right decision, but I don't want to be wrong. You know, he can live with ruffling some feathers, disappointing, upsetting people, knowing that if he went the other way, that the wrong decision could be devastating. So, I mean, just his approach, and same with Jay Monahan. I mean, there's a reason why they are the commissioners of two of the biggest tours, you know, in the world. And that trickles down to Alex Baldwin of the Korn Ferry Tour. I mean, there's so many layers upon layers, but you're spot on with the way they've handled it, the way they've presented it. This is what we're dealing with. This is what we're contemplating. We'd love to see golf, but safety is paramount. And I think moving forward for the rest of our lives, we're all going to approach things differently. And, you know, I can sort of give you a teaser with the Korn Ferry Tour, probably news coming out early next week.
Yeah.
You're going to see a mega season. Let's just say that in the normal PGA Tour cards.
Okay.
That are given out at the end of the regular season and the finals. It's going to look very different moving forward. Don't want to tip the hand on maybe some barcode information, but, you know, that's a trickle-down effect. Those are some of the dominoes of, well, if the tour can't do a regular season, how can we hand out PGA Tour cards to the Corn Ferry Tour guys. So, you know, keep your ears and eyes open. That should be hitting the waves in the next couple of days. And then that also has an effect on college kids. I know your son's going to head to Oklahoma play golf for Ryan Hibble. He has two young men that are seniors that might come back because of the NCAA allowing it. Well, now they really might come back because there's going to be a place to go. There might not be a Q school on the Corn Ferry Tour. So the dominoes will continue to fall. And again, that's my main point. Everything is going to look different, and it's going to be different for a long time.
The familiar voice from the Golf Channel, Steve Burkowski, with us tonight, SB Nation Radio. So let's take a deeper dive into the Corn Ferry Tour. You are the play-by-play announcer. Can you give us a pulse in terms of how close they are to returning to action? I mean, Corn Ferry Tour fans, they want some good news.
Yeah, they're hoping to mirror the return of the PGA Tour in June the 11th. You know, they've already lost basically a third of their season. And for my little tidbit I threw out there, they're not going to be able to get what they normally do regarding tour cards and graduates. So they're penciled in that same week of returning like the PGA Tour. So you're looking at, I believe it might be 10 or 11 straight weeks through the tour championship in Evansville the last week of August. So I feel pretty confident that if the PGA Tour resumes, so will the Corn Ferry Tour. But if they don't, I feel like they'll all be off. You know, I think that's just sort of putting two and two together that they're under the same umbrella. They're run by the PGA Tour, but they've got that target date. Again, come Monday when the news becomes official, maybe that will be tweaked and adjusted a little bit with, again, what won't happen on the Corn Ferry Tour this year. But I know as of this moment, when we're talking, they're circling for that June 11th return as well.
So how difficult has this been for the players on the Corn Ferry Tour? I mean, their season had just got underway. Correct me if I'm wrong. I think they played, what, six events?
Six. Gosh, it seems like an eternity. But, yes, they had the Bahamas, and then they sort of did their South America run. You had a couple of events in Louisiana. It's devastating. From a golfing standpoint, obviously we have to keep this all in perspective. There's much more important things in golf, but you've got young men or guys trying to get back to the PGA Tour ready to roll. My partner, Craig Perks, the Players Champ, every year in the Bahamas in January, said it's a sprint. Put on your running shoes and keep going. Well, that sprint got halted up. Someone dropped the baton around the first turn, and you know, you are in some areas that golf courses are closed. You know, if you're maybe down in Palm Beach in Florida, I don't believe they've reopened them yet. So as these guys try to stay sharp and ready, they've got nowhere to go. Yeah, I mean, there's been a couple of tours out in Arizona that quite honestly has gotten a lot of play because it's the only competitive golf you can get. So you're limited. You know, you might be in a state or a county where they're not allowing you to play golf, that you can't go on a golf course. I mean, I've talked to a handful of guys from the Corn Ferry Tour and the PGA Tour. They're like, I haven't touched a club in 5 weeks. Why?
Wow.
Like, what am I preparing for? Like, we're still 6 weeks away from hopefully meaningful golf. So it really throws a wrench and a curveball at them. But as we draw closer to that June date, and if it continues to look like that can happen, I think you'll see things ramp up. I mean, here in the state of Florida, eventually we're going to do a reopening of, you know, facilities, you know, well beyond golf. So, you know, it's different in every state. So it's just a matter of how do you stay sharp? How do you stay mentally focused? And there's no blueprint for this.
Our conversation continues with the Golf Channel, Steve Burkowski, after this quick break.
This is the Big E Sports Show on SB Nation Radio, live from the O'Reilly Auto Parts Studios in Houston. Here's Alyssa Walker-Campbell.
Hey, welcome back. Hour one, SB Nation Radio, the Big E Sports Show. I'd love to hear from you many different ways at eRadioSportsInfo, at eRadioSports.com, and PodcastArena.com. Right now in Hour One, let's go back inside the ropes and visit with Golf Channel's Steve Burkowski. Well, it is the common denominator, whether it's the PGA, LPGA, or the Corn Ferry Tour, as we were just discussing. This has got to be the longest break they've ever had from competitive golf. We're getting ready to wrap up our time. Steve Burkowski from the Golf Channel with us, SB Nation Radio. We always like to finish on a positive. So what do you think about the match two, Tiger Woods, Phil Mickelson, with a couple of NFL icons? We're ready for some fresh programming, Steve.
Yeah, well, I think anyone right now, we were probably all dialed into the NFL draft because at least it was some talk of sports. So
yeah,
to potentially see those two go at it with doing the greats ever, sling the pigskin around, you know, by all indications, it's all going to be money going to the COVID-19, you know, pandemic. And we want to see golf. I mean, let's be honest, we're all for it. You know, you could get your 2 cents and my 2 cents, and if we shot it, somebody actually might watch it. We're all don't have the strong desire to see some live sports. So, you know, to have two of the biggest ever in football and two of the all-time greats in golf, you know, maybe that gets us a step closer to, okay, you know, there was an event earlier this week at Merido in Texas.
Up in Dallas.
Pros and Tony Romo and amateurs. I think people want to see, can we do this? Can there be any sense of a golf tournament where you can have the social distancing? You know, theoretically, these are all maybe little test runs to say, okay, it can be done, or if this is how it's going to look, how do we need to do it differently? So whether it's at Merido or the Match Part 2, to me, these are signs of being optimistic of, okay, you know what? Maybe we can make this happen. But let's be honest, the PGA Tour, a much bigger platform and a lot more moving parts. But it gives us signs of hope. At least that's how I look at it.
Absolutely. All of us, we are craving some live action, and we are ready to tee it up. Always a true pleasure to have with us from the Golf Channel. That is Steve Burkowski. You and your family, you guys stay safe, and we look forward to another conversation down the road. Thank you so much, Steve-O.
Absolutely a pleasure. You stay safe as well. We'll chat again soon.
Okay, sounds good. Much more coming your way. The next generation of sports radio, SB Nation Radio. Come on back.